Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord once again. Beautiful day in the presence of the Lord, and we look to the Word. I'm continuing a series on Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, where the Bible says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." This series is not a continuing series from week to week in that sense, because every item is so specific. Seven things are mentioned that the Lamb is worthy of, and in the courts of heaven at the throne of grace, people are pouring out power and riches and wisdom, and we're invited to do that. So we've looked at the first three: worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom. And today we're looking at the aspect of strength. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength. That is from His people. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength. Now, He has all strength. He's the mighty God, but He's looking for strength, that something would be offered to the Lamb because of the great work of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, in our lives, that we would bring forth strength to the Lord. Psalm 82 and verse 1 says, "God stands in the congregation of the mighty." God stands in the congregation of the mighty. I pray this morning that we qualify to fulfill that verse in our lives and in this church, that we would be a church of strength for the Lord. Psalm 96 and verse 7 says, "Give unto the Lord glory and strength." Give unto the Lord strength. How many want to give strength to the Lamb of God today? Out of your spirit, out of your life, to give strength to the Lamb. The scribes came to Jesus in Mark chapter 12 and asked Him, "What is the great commandment of the law? What's the great commandment in the Word of God?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's no one else like Him. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment." To love the Lord our God, first of all of our heart. We know that the natural heart, Bible says the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. But the promise of God has come that the Lord would take out of our hearts, that take out of us that stony heart, that rebellious, that hardened heart against the Lord, that sinful heart, and God would put a new heart within us. He would put in us a heart of flesh, soft and pliable, and we would be able to respond to the Lord with all our affections and all our love. And the Lord has done that. He's given us a new heart so we can love the Lord our God now with our affections, with our love, with our kindness. The Lord has called us to love Him with all of our soul. Our soul, as Mel Davis says, is all of our living powers. That we would love the Lord our God with all of our living powers. All that we're called to do and called to be. Once the Bible says we offered our life to this world and our members of our body and our faculties as instruments of righteousness, but now we offer them to God, and we now offer our members, our bodies, everything within us to the living God, to love Him with all of our soul. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all of your mind? It's not speaking of our brain power. Because the scribes, when Jesus spoke these words, they interpreted it immediately, as you'll see in the following verses, if you look there, verse 33. And the scribes said, "It's true what you say, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our understanding." He substituted the word understanding for mind, so we know what it's speaking about, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our understanding, which is our spiritual understanding, that we are to take in the Word of God and sit under the ministry of the Word and learn the knowledge of the Lord, so we can love the Lord our God with all that spiritual understanding that He puts within us. And then He said that we would love the Lord our God with all of our strength. That we would love the Lord our God with all of our strength. This is spiritual strength. This isn't natural strength, because natural strength has no merit with God. This is spiritual strength that God now has put inside of us, that we would love the Lord with all of our strength. David said in Psalm 138:3, "In the day that I cried to you, you answered me, and you strengthened me with strength in my soul." You strengthened me with your strength in my soul. It's that strength that we now bring forth and say, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength." Psalm 84 says that those who are righteous, those who have a heart for Zion, for the presence of God, that they will go from strength to strength. And Job 17:9 says that the righteous will hold to his way, and those that have clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. That we will be able to offer strength to the Lord and even greater strength to the Lord. Now, in ourselves, we have nothing to offer. In our natural strength, we have nothing to offer the Lord. And that is why the Bible is continually drawing us off our own strength onto the strength of the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This natural man that we are does not have strength to qualify before God. The natural man is weak. Humanity is weak. It's only the strength of God that puts spiritual life and power into our lives. When we were in the unregenerate state, we were weak. We had no spiritual power. When we were unsaved, we had no spiritual might. Romans 5:6 says that when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, the Bible notes that the unregenerate man is a realm of weakness. There is no power there to walk with God. There's no power to overcome sin or Satan. There's no power to overcome the world system. The natural man is weak. But thank God we have been touched by the power of God, and now we're clothed with power from on high. Psalm 110:3 says, "Your people shall be willing in the day of your power." It's a prophecy concerning the ministry of Jesus Christ and his salvation. "Your people shall be willing in the day of your power." Now that day of power is Salvation Day. And there was a day when that salvation became specific in your life, the day you came under the message of the gospel. And in that day, as the power of God rested on you, as you heard the gospel, all of a sudden, there was a willingness inside of you. "Your people shall be willing in the day of your power." When the gospel call comes, all of a sudden we're willing. What? To give up sin. We're willing to forsake the world's pleasures. We're willing to remove ourselves from Satan's clutches and come into the strength and the power of God. Now we're clothed with power from on high. Now there's spiritual strength in us because of the work of Jesus Christ. That strength of God must always be valued and honored and lifted up in our lives. Because the natural man that we are is weak and has no power to serve God properly. In our unregenerate state, we were in a state of weakness. And in our natural being today, we are in a state of weakness. We need the strength of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Simon Peter, putting forth his strength at the Last Supper, the upper room, the 12 gathered around Jesus. And he said so boldly, as Jesus said, "There will be betrayal here this night." Simon Peter said, "Though all forsake you, though all these other disciples forsake you, I will not forsake you. I will even go to prison. I will even die for you." And yet a few moments earlier, he had joined all the others. When Jesus said, "One of you will lift his hand against me tonight. One of you will betray me." He also said, as all of them did, "Is it I, Lord?" But now he was putting forth his strength. He wanted to show his strength. And Jesus said to him, "Simon, Simon." He used his natural name, his natural dependency. He didn't call him Cephas. He didn't call him Peter. He didn't call him the rock. He said, "Simon, Simon, you're trusting in your natural strength right now. You're putting forth a show of strength in front of these other disciples. But he said, tonight before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, when you come through this denial, when you come through this fall, when you return to me, I want you to strengthen your brethren. He said, I want you to strengthen the brothers and sisters. I want you to strengthen the other disciples. Simon Peter was taught a valuable lesson to get off his own strength and get on to the strength of the Lord. And it's a lesson that must be taught and will be taught by the Holy Spirit to every saint, to every person of God, that we must renounce our own strength, the force of our personality, our willpower, our strong-mindedness. We must renounce our natural strength, and we must rely on the strength of the Lord, that we draw over on the strength of the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, the power of His might. Isaiah 52:1, awake, awake, O Zion. Awake, people of God. Put on your strength. Awake and put on the strength of the Lord. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 said, the God of grace give you glory, and that after you've suffered a while, that He would establish and He would strengthen and He would settle you. That God would strengthen us, that God would settle us so that we would have something to offer, that we might love the Lord our God with all our strength. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength from His people. Point number one this morning, strengthen yourself on the almighty power of God. Strengthen yourself on the almighty power of God. Come off your own strength and be strengthened by the Lord. Spiritual strengthening is the gracious work of the Holy Spirit, but it is also the responsibility of every believer. Spiritual strengthening is the gracious work of the Holy Spirit, but it is also the responsibility of every believer. Ephesians 3:10 shows us the might of the Spirit. Paul says, he prays that God would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, the wealth, the abundance of God, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. But we also have James 5:8. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. He says, establish your own hearts. The Greek word means to prop up your heart. See, James was addressing believers who were fainting under persecution and temptation and struggle of life. He said, establish your hearts. Strengthen your heart is the word. Confirm your heart. You may be here this morning and you may feel weak and you may feel overwhelmed. You may wonder how you can go on and fighting the battles and the forces and all the difficulties and the trial that is coming against your life. But the very reason you are here this morning is proof that the power of God is working in your life. The reason you are here is because His mercy is on your life. If it wasn't for the strength in you now, you would have already fallen. But it shows you there is strength in God for His people. And even though we struggle, and even though we have difficult times, there's something inside of us that draws us back to the house of God, that draws us to the presence of worship and prayer. That shows that there is strength inside. Now, it may be little strength, but there is strength inside. And the Bible says these words in Hebrews 12:12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down. Strengthen the hands which hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. King James says, lift up the hands which hang down. Strengthen your knees. There's strength in you. Draw on the strength of God. A Christian must reach forth to the strength that is already in their life by the Holy Spirit. In times of weakness, God expects us to take hold of the strength He's already developed in us to encourage us, to lift us up. He said, lift up the hands which hang down, like Moses on the hill. Gain some victories back in your life. Because when Moses' hands were down, when the enemy had his hands down, the Bible says that Amalek pressed in and encroached and began to take some territory. But as soon as Moses got his hands up, the enemy was repelled and pushed back, and he regained the inheritance. And Moses needed a couple of brothers, Aaron and Hur, to come alongside him to lift up his hands so they wouldn't fall to his side. And as long as he had his hands up, and he did, till the going down of the sun, and they totally annihilated the enemies. You may need some brothers or sisters. You may need someone to come around you and lift up your hands and strengthen you and pray for you. But you must draw on the strength of God. Lift up your hands which hang down. All of us have this ability. There's enough strength in us to get our hands up in the presence of God. There's enough strength in us for us to begin to praise the Lord and open our mouth and declare the goodness of the Lord. And in that, we will gain our victories in the Lord. David said, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. God trains my hands for war. The Lord trains me that I must lift my hands in His presence, because there's a mighty warfare that takes place. And as my hands are lifted, the power of God is going out against my enemies. It's the Lord who trains my fingers to fight, so that I clap my hands in the presence of God and I strike against the enemy. Repel the enemy. Use the weapons of God and the weapons of righteousness. The Lord is known as the strength of His people. One of the names of God in the Bible is the strength of Israel. The strength of Israel. That God is the one who will strengthen us daily, strengthen us in our life, strengthen us for purpose and courage. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. We're in our weakness. We're under enemy attack. We may be under pressure and emotions and accusations of people and difficulty, but we know there's a place. There is a place of strength. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I've got to run to the name of the Lord. And I begin to call on Him. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Shammah, the felt presence of God with me. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, who is my military flag of victory. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, who is my shepherd. When we are put to the worst by circumstances, by emotions and thoughts, by life itself, there is a place we can strengthen ourselves. We run into the tower of the name of the Lord, and we invoke His name. My, sometimes you feel so pursued by the enemy or circumstances. But as soon as you get into the name of the Lord, it's like everything settles down and the voice of the Lord and the power of God comes on your life. And doesn't matter what trial you're facing, your Father has a word for you and He's spoken life into you to sustain you. The promises of God are a strong tower. Run into the promises of God. When the warfare is against your mind, when those fiery arrows of Satan come against you, those thoughts to bring you down, to discourage you, negative thoughts that come against you by the enemy, thoughts of fear, thoughts of weakness, run into the promises of God and quote the promises of the Lord. Hallelujah. Quote the promises of the Lord. Take them into your life. Nehemiah was hard pressed by the enemy. The enemy said, "We're going to weaken his hands. We're going to bring evil report against him. We're going to bring accusation. We're going to bring discouragement against Nehemiah as he was building the city of God." And you know what Nehemiah's prayer was? "Oh God, strengthen my hands." He prayed, "Oh God, strengthen my hands." And God did strengthen his hands for the warfare so he could persist and fulfill the word of God, fulfill the call of God on his life. Come boldly, the Bible says, before the throne of grace. that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly, the Bible says, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help. You're going to find the help of the Lord. You're going to find the strength of the Lord in every situation, difficulty, and trial. The Lord welcomes us to come. The more often we come into the presence of the Lord, to his throne of grace, the better. The more often we come, the more welcome we are in the presence of the Lord. He's willing to pour out his help. He's willing to pour out his strength in whatever situation or trial we face. He's willing to lift us up. Didn't Jesus say, "Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name? Ask that you might receive, that your joy may be full." He said, you haven't been asking. You haven't asked in my name, but listen, I'm opening it up to you. I'm welcoming you. I'm inviting you. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. It shows us the large heart of our Lord to want to give to us. Run into the name of the Lord. Run to the throne of grace. Run to the promises of the Lord. Caleb was as strong at 85 years of age as he was at 40. And the reason is because he wholly followed the Lord. And he held to promise. He held to promise. God had given him a word through Moses when he was 40 years age, that though all other men of his generation would perish, he would live. And he would see the fulfillment of the promise of God, that his feet would walk on the inheritance in the land of Canaan. And it would not only be his, but it would be his descendants forever, because he wholly followed the Lord. I wonder sometimes if Caleb, I mean, men were dying all around him. I wonder sometimes if some thoughts came upon him. I wonder if I'll make it to 85. God's given me a promise, and he was strong in the promise. If we are strong in the promise, we will be strong in faith and we'll be strong in our life. So number one this morning, strengthen yourself on the power of Almighty God. Strengthen yourself in times of weakness, in times of struggle, even those momentary times in the day where it seems that the enemy can break down our resolve and our spiritual strength. Something hits us, some report, some emotion, some offense, some negativity. Even in those moments, strengthen yourself on the power of Almighty God. Number two, strengthen yourself for service. Strengthen yourself for service. To serve the Lord and to fulfill your ministry and to be involved in a responsible way in his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Always abounding in the work of the Lord. With fullness, with great measure, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that you're labor is not in vain in the Lord, that you will have a true reward in this life and eternity to come. We must be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, to build the house of God, to build the kingdom of God, to build the local church in strength and power in the world, it requires what the Bible calls the warfare of the sanctuary. The warfare of the sanctuary. There is a warfare to the building of the house of God. I brought a couple of scriptures out of Numbers chapter 4. There are others in these passages in the Old Testament, but it speaks about those who would do the work in the house of God or the tabernacle of the meeting of the people. Numbers 4:3 says, "From 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting." And verse 23, "From 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, you shall number them, all who enter to perform the service." The marginal in my Bible says to war the warfare. They enter the host, they enter the service. People today in military realms are called, they're in the service. That's where this word aligns with. All who enter to perform the warfare, the conquest, to wage the warfare, to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting from 30 years old and above. 30 was the number of full strength, full measure. God was saying to do the work of the tabernacle. It requires the strength of a full-grown man. God says, this work of the house of God requires strength in my people. It requires there's might to be formed in them. If you make a decision to serve the Lord with all your heart and build his house and build his kingdom, it won't be long before you run up against the flesh, the world, and the devil. It won't be long. You say, Lord, I want to serve you. I give my life to you. It won't be long until you run up against the unholy Trinity, because they will try and draw you off to a lesser commitment, to something complacent, to something casual. This warfare of the sanctuary requires the strength of full-grown people in the Spirit, that we develop our spiritual life and our strength before the Lord in a prosperous and positive way. The Lord said through an angel to Daniel, he said, those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11:32. Those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But just before that, the angel said, Daniel, there are some who will not bear up and stand in the kingdom. They will fall to voices and flatteries and lesser ways of life and thoughts of ease. And he said, they will not hold to their steadfastness, but those who are strong will stand and bear up in trial and difficulty, temptation, and they will perform the work of the Lord, and they will do exploits. You see, the gospel message is sweet in its taste. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. My, when we hear the gospel, you mean I can have my sins forgiven? You mean I can escape the power of the fallen nature and Satan and sin and worldliness, and I can go to heaven when I die? The gospel is sweet to the taste. But many are offended by the hard service it calls to afterward. And we must strengthen ourselves for service. We must strengthen ourselves for service. 1 Chronicles 11 and verse 10. Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Now we all know who the king is. We all know who King David is. The greater David, Jesus Christ our Lord. David had men with him, and it's a picture of what God's looking for in his army, in his host, that people that would strengthen themselves, men and women that will strengthen themselves with him to establish his kingdom, to build his church, to strengthen the local church, to walk in power in their generation. They strengthen themselves to make David king, Jesus Christ, King and Lord over the nation. David had, as the list goes on in 1 Chronicles 11, there were the three mightiest, the three greatest and most valiant warriors that David had. They were called the three mightiest. Then there were the three mighty, who were captains among the 30, the three mighty. Then there were the 30, which were captains in their own right. They were called the company of the 30, men of great strength. And underneath these captains were hundreds of thousands of rank and file soldiers. And they would war the warfare of the Lord, this entire company under King David. They strengthened themselves to establish the kingdom. Now, I don't know who the three mightiest are in the kingdom of our Lord, but I'd put the Apostle Paul as one of the three. My, one of the three mightiest. I don't know who the three captains might represent, but there are some names that come to mind over the years and centuries of history. Then there are the captains, the men of the 30, great men of strength in the Lord, great calling, great influence and power. But most of us are in the rank and file. We number among the hundreds of thousands across the planet and millions that make up the rank and file of the army of the Lord. And we must take our place. Not one of those that were considered common soldiers. Well, I'm not one of the mightiest. I'm not one of the captains. Not one of them dismissed themselves because of what they might, of what they thought was a low stature or a low position or place. And neither are we to. We must thank God for the place He's given us, for our time, our situation, and we must go to war, and we must fight the battles of the Lord, and we must war the warfare of the sanctuary and establish the kingdom of our Lord. Hallelujah. There were times in Israel, as you read the scriptures, where there was great strength in the kingdom, and there were times of great weakness. There was rise and fall in the kingdom according to the hearts of the people and sometimes according to the strength of the leader, whether he had a heart for God or not. But there were these times, these rises and falls, this ebb and flow in the kingdom. But oh, how beautiful in the pages of the Bible when you read about times of strength and how the enemies were broken, how the people were brought into strength and power and beauty before the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want it to be said of our time and generation that it was a weak time in the kingdom of God in the earth. But in this place that we would serve the Lord with strength, that when time, years passed by and decades passed by, that people would say, those were valiant warriors. Those people that served the Lord in that generation and time were strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and they strengthened themselves for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because worthy is the Lamb to receive strength. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength from His people. Number three today, strengthen yourself in prayer. Strengthen yourself in prayer. Luke 21, verses 34 to 36. Jesus said, but take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourself. This is a warning. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, pleasures, ease. And that day, the day of Christ, come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. That you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. The NU text from our Alexandrian brethren of history past. And pray always that you might be strengthened to escape all these things, is what it says. Watch and pray that you might be strengthened to escape all these cares and pleasures and temptations and forces that try and weaken you spiritually, that you would be able to stand before the Son of Man. This morning, we must strengthen ourselves for prayer. Now, our strength isn't in the ordinance, which is the religious duty. Our strength is in the Lord. But the ordinance, the place of prayer, the prayer power, the prayer expression, the longing after God is the avenue by which the power of God flows into our life and throws into our being. We are not strengthened merely by the ordinance. You can come to the prayer service. You can stand in the prayer room and not be strengthened. You can come to the prayer room and you can utter a few words to God and give Him the meditations of your heart. But that doesn't strengthen you. The strength is in the power of God. And sometimes we come to the place of prayer and we leave and we aren't strengthened because we haven't taken on the power of God. We haven't encountered the power of God. We haven't invoked the power of God to be in strength upon our life. It's not the religious duty. It's the power of God that we need to flow into our hearts. And so we call on the Lord. We call on the Lord. Listen to Hosea chapter 12, verses 3 and 4 concerning Jacob. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. There was a spiritual desire after God already in the womb. He wanted the inheritance. He wanted the spiritual birthright. And by his strength, he had power with God. By his strength, he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel that wrestled with him. And Jacob prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. God found him in Bethel, and there he spoke with all of us. This is a lesson for all. The Bible says, Jacob, by his strength, had power with God. Now, this wasn't natural strength. Again, because natural strength has no value. Our natural willpower, our natural force of personality has no merit or credit with God. This was spiritual power that was in Jacob. By his strength, he had power with God. You know what Jacob did? He took the strength that had been developed in him to that point, and he began to call on God. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. He began to plead with God. He began to wrestle. And the Bible says that wrestling, that agonizing, that longing was the strength that was in Jacob, whereby he received the blessing of the Lord, that God blessed him there. We must take the spiritual strength that is in us at this point, and we must begin to use that strength to receive more strength and more blessing from God. Jacob wrestled with the angel, and the angel could not be overcome. He say, the angel of God, Jesus Christ himself, the angel, because it was God wrestling with him, Jesus Christ came and wrestled with Jacob, and you mean Jacob couldn't be overcome by the angel of God? The Bible says no, because God cannot overcome his own strength. The strength that was in Jacob was the strength of God, and it's as if God was in two persons. He was in the angel of God, but he was also in Jacob, and God could not overcome himself. But there was God wrestling with Jacob, and out of that wrestling came such a cry that Jacob clung to the angel of the Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So fervent was his prayer. So mighty was his cry that the Lord blessed him there. It shows us the great desire in the heart of God that we wrestle in prayer. It shows us that God values those who will wrestle in prayer and take the strength that's in their spirit and call out on God in groanings and gushings of the Spirit, in invoking the promises of God, in pleading the promises of heaven upon their life and upon their family. And oh, how willing he is to answer those requests as he did with Jacob. This is a marvelous mystery of the prayer life of the saints. This is a wonderful mystery. I don't think the words could be any better than penned generations ago. The name of the man isn't even given, but I found this in one of my books a number of years ago. He said, yea, herein is the unconquerable might of the righteous. This his wondrous wrestling. Herein his glorious victories. In glowing longings, assiduous prayers, joyous weeping. Girt with the might of holy orison, they strive with God. They wrestle with his judgment and will not be overcome until they obtain of his goodness all they desire and extort, as it were, by force of his hands. My, what a cry on the Lord. What a dependence on God. And God says that, I respond to that. I respond to that. You look at that scene with Jacob and the angel, and Jacob seeking blessing, and the angel wants to bless him. But my, there was a wrestling. There was a wrestling, and the power of God says, I delight in that. I delight in that. You can have my blessing, Jacob, and I'll pour it down in the generations to come. It appeared as if the Lord wanted to shake him off, get rid of him. Shake them off. You're not getting any victories today. You're not getting any answers to prayer today. It looked like the Lord was resisting him, pushing him away. But the Lord says, no, I want to see your wrestling. I want to see your groaning. I want to see your heart after me. And I will answer the cry of your heart. Hallelujah. Strengthen yourself for prayer. Get alone with God and cry out to God. As David, I cried unto you and you answered me and I was strengthened. With strength in my soul. Learn to call out on the Lord with groanings of the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God pray through you with other languages and groanings that cannot be uttered in your articulate speech, in your normal language. These are the cries, these are the groanings of the Spirit that bring forth the will of God in our lives and families and in the house of God. Hallelujah. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was strengthened in prayer. Luke 22:43-46, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. An angel appeared to Jesus from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. The angel strengthened him, and he was able to pray more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Their hearts were discouraged by the events of the day. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. An angel appeared to Jesus Christ as he prayed. What a wonderful, wonderful scene this is, because the Son of God was praying prayers of such might, of the salvation of the world, dedicating himself to the holy will of God. Not my will, but yours be done. He wasn't praying about earthly matters. He was praying powerful spiritual matters over people's lives and the conquest and advancement of the kingdom of God. He was praying prayers so valuable to the heart of God that God said his physical frame can't take what he's going through and what he's praying. I'm going to send an angel alongside him. And an angel slipped in alongside the Son of God to bolster him and to strengthen him so he could pray more fully, so he could pray more completely, so he could be lengthened out in prayers and fulfill the prayer cry of God that God wanted to bring through his life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I wonder sometimes, Lord, I want to pray the kind of prayers. I want to be so burdened with your burdens and such a cry for your deliverance and such a cry for your promises and such a cry for your kingdom that I would be worthwhile you sending an angel to strengthen me and lengthen out my prayers so I can accomplish more in the prayer room of the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand together today. I want to read two quick portions of Scripture. Isaiah 40 and verse 28, we know it well. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The word wait, meaning to twist, to braid, to bind your life in close with the Lord, with his word, with his promises, with his name. Those who bind their life, twist their life tightly in with the Lord, will mount up with wings as eagles. And it says they shall renew their strength. They shall change their strength. The Hebrew word means to come quickly. To come quickly, to be renewed, to sprout again, to be brought forth in a blessed state, state of power of the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Then Psalm 27 and verse 14, wait on the Lord. Again, that word, kava, to bind, twist your life in with the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We all need the strength of God continually in our life, every day, every moment of the day. The natural strength will fail us. Our natural mind, our natural disposition and personality will fail us. But there is a strength that's available, and that's the strength of the Lord. And that's the strength we're calling into our life so that we can have something to offer back to God, because worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive strength from his people. Perhaps there are some here this morning that need spiritual strengthening. You need somebody to hold up your arms and pray with you and embolden you and allow the courage of God to come into your life. Slip out from where you are. Slip down to the front, to the altar. Come and receive the strength of the Lord. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you through this service that you've allowed spiritual weakness to come into your life, and you can see it. It doesn't happen in a moment. But over weeks and months and sometimes even years, you're far from the strength that God has for you. You've been drawn off by flatteries of a lesser way of life, of something more comfortable and casual by which to serve God. But there's only one place for the people of God, and that is in the strength of his presence and in the power of his might. You say, that's me this morning, Pastor. Come from where you are. Receive strengthening. Make a decision today to begin to wrestle again with the living God. Say, I will wrestle with the angel of God, and I will not be denied until I receive the promise of God in my life and stand in the strength of the Lord and walk as a man and woman of God. Anyone else, please slip down as we close out with a song. Worship the Lord. Amen, all of us this morning. Let's lift our hands. Lift up the hands which hang down. Let's ask the power of God to come into our life afresh. God would strengthen us with might according to his riches in our inner man today.